Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, Lou Dobbs interviewing Jesuit Tom Reese of Georgetown University.
Does the church, though, or the Council of Bishops, Father, make any reference to the fact that we bring more than 3 million people a year into the United States legally, that we made more than a million people, U.S. citizens, naturalized more than a million immigrants last year as U.S. citizens, that almost half of them were Hispanic, because you make it sound as if there's some sort of constraint here to do things legally. We had a president running around for 8 years saying things like we need a guest worker program. We have 13 of them in this country. Why the duplicity, why the deceit, why the obfuscation in this debate rather than clarity and transparency, openness and honesty?
Well, I would like to see a program that actually worked. I mean, it can take 20 years for someone to get a visa to rejoin their family. This is just not a system that's working. What we need is a system that actually works, that allows people to get a visa, come here legally, and allows the, 10 million people who are here already, that have been living here, that have children born in the United States. There are 3.1 million children who were born in the United States of people who are here undocumented. They are American citizens. The government is threatening to take their parents away from them and send them back to the country they lived in. These are children who are American citizens.
You didn't answer a single question I asked, Father, but then again, you're a Jesuit. You can get away with that.
Greetings and welcome to Mystery Babylon Radio on January 16th, 2013. Tonight is part three of our study on Mystery Babylon with guest John Daniel. My introduction to the program tonight is from Leon Pettard of Australia, Fair Dinkum Radio. His words are a good introduction to our broadcast tonight. Quote, "The name Babylon is commonly known as a city in most people's thinking. Many will understand that it was and is still a kingdom to this day. However, while it began as a city, the kingdom of Babylon became a great system of security, a system of governance, economic, and a system of religion. It has evolved over thousands of years, being the vehicle through which Lucifer has honed his cunning on the masses of the inhabitants of the world. The kingdom of Babylon is featured prominently in the Bible and in historical writings. It was a kingdom that was born after the great flood, as recorded in the book of Genesis. All proper students of history understand that what passes for history and orthodox accounts and approved by the powers that be and presented by them to the gullible public as true accounts of past events and personalities therein are invariably flawed. Moreover, the proper student of history also understands that these accounts are not academically flawed due to simple ignorance or poor research, but they are products of careful, deliberate, coordinated, and a cynical effort to subvert objective history. That is, the rulers of this earth wish to conceal from the masses their true power, the true power of this power, and to extend this power over the masses. The proper study of history reveals that there are two types of accounts possible. Either everything on earth happens by chance, that there is no design or purpose to it, or history is made, and that there is design and purpose to what transpires on this earth. Thus, logically, there are only two ways history can unfold. Either it is entirely by happenstance, or it is entirely by design. Tonight's broadcast is to give us a clear picture of past history, so we know where we have been, so we know which way the powers to be are pointing us in the future. Tonight is part three to All Roads Lead to Mystery Babylon. My guest, John Daniel, author of The Grand Design Exposed, goal is to direct us to the history that has been purposely hid from us. Welcome to the broadcast, John.
Thank you, Walt. It's a pleasure and an honor to be here. And
that I want to bring to our listeners' attention is that this history has been outlined for us. In the book of Revelation, in the 12th chapter, and in the 13th chapter, and the 17th chapter of the book of Revelation. In the 12th chapter is outlined as a dragon that has seven heads. In the 13th chapter, it is outlined as a beast that has seven heads. In the 17th chapter of the book of Revelation, it is outlined for us as a beast that has seven heads, and a woman is riding that beast. Our emphasis is to find out and to make known precisely what those symbols represent, and the Word of God clearly tells us in the 12th chapter who the dragon represents. It says that it is Satan, or the devil, that has deceived the whole world. Now, I have stated this before in the previous presentation, but I think it's worth repeating again. This, what you're reading there, is what God has placed there for our understanding. And you see, when you're talking about the devil or Satan or Lucifer that has deceived the whole world, well, how has he done this? How has he deceived the whole world? Well, it has to be through that system that is being described there. The dragon with seven heads, the beast with seven heads. What do those heads have in common? As you study this thing, you realize that the heads are there consecutively. They're not there all at the same time. They're coming in sequence. And what do they have in common? Well, they all have the same body. They all have the same body. And that body, as the dragon, you see, it is Luciferian. It is satanic. And you see, when you get to the 13th chapter, it tells you that the dragon gives to the beast its power, seat, and authority. So, again, to ask the question, how does he deceived the whole world? The answer is through those heads of this system, and those heads can only represent one thing, and that is the world empires that have arose in the history of ancient history that we can look back on and see and understand something that is very, very, well, When you understand that each one of these heads are a world empire, and every one of these world empires represented or worshipped the sun, then the picture all comes into play or come into place. And so this is what, you see, that has been kept from us. You don't hear anybody talk about sun worship. And of course, to do this, they would expose themselves. So, this is where, with all, by the grace of God, that we are trying to make clear to people that this whole world has always had only one universal religion, and that is sun worship. The Bible, the scriptures, you see, teach us that a fool has said in his heart that there is no God. And when it talks about a God, it's not talking about the false gods. It is talking about the true and living God. And that's what this whole world has been working toward. You see, they set up the sun worship to diminish, or to, better yet, to eliminate the true God. And that's what, that is their goal. That is their ultimate goal. And I want to make this understood here this evening. About a year and a half ago, I don't recall exactly how long, but it hasn't been much longer, between a year and a half or 2 years ago, that I was on a program, and to counter everything that I had said there at the very end of the show, the host made a statement that he declared that he didn't believe that Jesus Christ ever did exist on this planet. And the point I'm making here is that I'm hearing this now. The first time I heard that, it shocked me. But you're beginning to hear this now more and more. If you're made aware of it, you know, I'll assure you, you're going to hear these things, and it's going to be more frequent and consistent, that Jesus Christ never did exist. And you're going to hear it so many times, you see, and that's their whole objective. You're going to hear it so many times from different angles and different people, and first thing you know, it's not hostile to you any longer. It sort of just fits in, and so you just you level out with it. We have come now in this presentation to the third head on this system, and that third head is Babylon. And we find through the prophet Daniel much about Babylon and what took place there. And I want to go through just as a little brief here to kind of give a background of, you see, where Daniel was. You see, Daniel was a Jewish prince, and he had been taken captive, and now he's in Babylon. And what this is all about, you see, is to, God had warned the people of Israel in Jerusalem that if it didn't correct their ways, that he was going to allow Jerusalem to be destroyed, and they would be taken captive. With that in mind, okay, I want to make a little story here that gives you some idea for the reasons that God had allowed Jerusalem to be destroyed, because this is extremely important to understand. While Jesus walked the earth, one day Peter came to him and asked the question, "Lord, how many times do you forgive someone? Seven times?" And the Lord immediately said, "No, Peter, 70 times seven." Now, if you do your math, you realize that 7 times 70 is 490. Where did our Lord come up with that number all of a sudden? Well, I'm going to give you a little history here very briefly, all right? And this will be one of the reasons, you see, how God has given to his people, and through the prophets, those that God has given dreams and visions to, inspired them to write these things and give them to his people so that we can understand this true God that we constantly are talking about, and that that everybody seems to want to eliminate. At the beginning of the nation of Israel going into the promised land, well, let's go back just a little bit further before that, okay? God has given to man, and I'm bringing an issue here that may not be too popular to most people, but God has given to man, whether we like it or not, as an identifying purpose to connect God's creatures, God's human beings here on this planet with himself, to recognize that he was the creator. He has given to mankind a weekly Sabbath every seventh day. When the nation of Israel, why is this so important now? Okay, and in that commandment, it tells you, for God made heaven and earth and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day, and hallowed it, or blessed it, and sanctified it, set it apart for holy use. When the nation of Israel was to go into the land of Canaan, God had asked his people to observe a yearly Sabbath. Every seventh year was to be a Sabbath. You could work the land for 6 years, plow it, plant, harvest, but that seventh year, he didn't do any of that. He let the land lay idle every seventh year. Every seventh year. Seven times is 49. And at the end of that 49, the next year became the 50th year, which became a Jubilee year. And this was repeated. Every 7 times 7, 49, the next year was the 50th year, became a Jubilee year. What do you mean by Jubilee year? Where everything, if a person was too poor and they had to sell all their property or even themselves as a servant or a slave, at that 50th year, everything returned back to his original owners, okay? And so this was a system that God had set up in its most perfect way. But the nation of Israel ignored that. They totally ignored it. 7 years go by, 7 years go by, years went by, until a 70 times 7, 490 years. And at that point, God said, enough is enough. And he allowed the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, to go in and destroy Jerusalem because they would not observe his Sabbath. And he made the promise that for every year that they refused to keep and allow the land to keep Sabbath, it would keep Sabbath for those 70 years, totally uninhabited and desolate. And so, we find all of this in these prophecies that is covered in this book that we call the Bible, the Holy Word of God. But you see, there was more to it than all that. You see, they were worshiping the sun. You see, first, the two reasons that was being given here in the scriptures that God allowed Jerusalem to be destroyed is, first off, they disobeyed him, they disregarded his Sabbath, but more than that, also, they worshiped the sun. And even more than that, they were sacrificing their little children, little babies, to the sun. You see, this was the reason that God had allowed the nation of Israel to go into that whole area of Canaan land, is because this is what all the people that were living there were doing. They were sacrificing their own little children, little infant, totally helpless babies to the sun and killing them. And so God had to destroy them. Well, and he had to destroy his own people. He allowed it to be totally destroyed. And you see, God has given to the nation of Israel two time periods. And I want you to think about this now. You as a listener, realize, hey, the United States of American government is only a little over 200 years old. These time periods that have been given to the nation of Israel were 490 years. That's almost 500 years. Plus the 70 years in between, and then another 490 years was given. And you read that in the book of Daniel in the 9th chapter. So, when you put all this together, you see, this is the background of why the nation of Israel and Daniel was a captive in Babylon. And what I want to bring out, and I'm going to probably spend most of my presentation here on this because I consider this extremely important. I want folks to understand that the Bible is an incredible book that God has given to man, has revealed himself to man through the prophets that you read about. And I'm going to read and quote, read three areas here in the Bible that is covering the same area that I've just gone over up until the time of Babylon. I want you to know, first will be the book of Isaiah, or the prophet Isaiah. And I want you to keep in mind that Isaiah lived 150 years before Daniel. I want to read from 2 Chronicles, chapter 36, and let me get this here real quick. Verses 11 to 20. It says that Zedekiah was 120 years old when he began to reign. Now this is a king of Israel. And reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God, and humbled not himself before Jeremiah the prophet, speaking from the mouth of the Lord. And he also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who had made him swear by God. But he stiffened his neck and hardened his heart from turning unto the Lord God of Israel. Moreover, all the chief of the priests and the people transgressed very much after the abominations of the heathen. I will read that again. Moreover, all the chief of the priests of Israel and the people transgressed very much after all the abominations of the heathen and polluted the house of the Lord, which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. And the Lord God of their fathers said to them by his messengers, or prophets, rising up betimes and sending, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God and despised his words and misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people till there was no remedy. Therefore he brought upon them the king of Chaldea, who slew their young men with the sword in the house of their sanctuary, and had no compassion upon young man or maiden, old man, or him that stooped for age. He gave them all into his hand. And all the vessels of the house of God, great and small, and the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king and his princes, all these he brought to Babylon. And they burnt the house of God, and broke down the wall of Jerusalem, and burnt all the palaces thereof with fire, and destroyed all the goodly vessels thereof. and them that had escaped from the sword carried he away to Babylon, where they were servants to him and his sons until the reign of the kingdom of Persia, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths. For as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. 70 is 20, 70 is 60, and 10, that's 70 years. I'd like to turn to Jeremiah, the 25th chapter, and I'm going to read verses 4 to 13. And the Lord has sent unto you all his servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them, but ye have not hearkened nor inclined your ear to hear. The prophet said, turn ye again now, every one, from his evil way and from the evil of your doings, and dwell in the land of the Lord hath given unto you and to your fathers forever and ever. And go not after other gods to serve them and to worship them and provoke me to anger with the works of your hands, and I will do you no hurt. Yet ye have not hearkened unto me, saith the Lord, that ye might provoke me to anger with the works of your hands to your own hurt. Therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, because ye have not heard my words, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against the land and against the inhabitants thereof, and against all these nations round about, will utterly destroy them and make them an astonishment and a hissing, perpetual desolations. Moreover, I will take from them the voice of mirth, and the voice of gladness, and the voice of the bridegroom, and the voice of the bride, and the sound of millstones, and the light of the candle. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment. And these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. And it shall come to pass, when 70 years are accomplished, that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith the Lord, for their iniquity and the land of the Chaldeans, and will make it perpetual desolations. And I will bring upon the land all my words which I have pronounced against it, even all that is written in this book, which Jeremiah has prophesied against all the nations. I'd like to read one more time. I'm reading Isaiah, chapter 45, verses 1 to 13. What I want to say when in reading Isaiah, this is 150 years now before the time of Daniel, Jeremiah, that I just read about. And Isaiah is seeing a man that nobody's ever heard about. And he calls him by name. And he says, that saith of Cyrus, he is my shepherd, and shall perform my pleasure, even saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, and to the temple thy foundation shall be laid. Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden, to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two-leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. What I'm bringing to your attention here is that this true God is telling his people through the prophet Isaiah that God, 150 years later, was going to call upon a man that the leaved gates of Babylon would not be shut. And this man's sires would be able to pass through into Babylon and to conquer it that particular night. With that in your mind, understand that there's no other religion. There is no other God, because there is no other God. And this is what I'm going to read as you listen to what God is saying here himself. Still in chapter 45, verses 1 to 13. I will go before thee, he tells Cyrus, and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which called thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. For Jacob my servant's sake, and Israel mine elect, I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me. Now he hasn't even been born yet, understand? He has not even been born yet, and God is calling this out to his people so that when they see these things, they will know that this God that they serve, or are supposed to be serving, is the only God. I am the Lord, there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that thou mayest know from the rising of the sun. And I understand that the name Cyrus itself means the sun. S-U-N. And from the west, and there is none else beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Drop down, ye heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down the righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation. And let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Let the potsherds strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioned it, what makest thou, or thy work, he hath no hands? Woe unto him that saith to his father, why begettest thou? Or to the woman, what hast thou brought forth? Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and his Maker, ask me of things to come concerning my sons, and concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. I have made the earth, and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their host have I commanded. I have raised him up in righteousness, and I will direct all his ways, speaking of Cyrus again. He shall build my city, and he shall let go my captives, not for price nor reward, saith the Lord of hosts. In other words, he is telling his God, the true and living God, is telling his people that through this man, Cyrus, who was the king of Persia, that this man was to let the captives go after 70 years back to their place and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem and start a new 490 time period. But what happened at the end of the second 490 year time period? Well, that last 7 years, it was prophesied by the prophet Daniel that in the midst of that week, that the Messiah was to be cut off. And that's where you read all these things that God, the true and living God, has given to his people to understand, that no other people on the face of the earth has the capability of doing. And this is the God that they want to eliminate and place someone else there that's just an imposter. And that's where this whole thing is headed. And so now we're at Babylon. And as you read the book of Daniel, you come to realize that Nebuchadnezzar had a golden kingdom. And the book of Daniel is one of the most incredible books in the Bible, the things that God revealed to this man, what he revealed to Nebuchadnezzar. And when you read that book, you realize how God was making himself known to this sun god head, that he wasn't as big and bad as he thought he was. You see, God gave him a vision, or a dream, I should say, and he couldn't remember the dream. And so he called all of his astrologers, his soothsayers, his magicians, all of his wise men of his kingdom. He called them in and asked them to tell him his dream and give it the interpretation. Well, they couldn't do that. They couldn't do it. And so, hey, Nebuchadnezzar said, you guys are just playing for time. And so I'm asking you again to tell me my dream and tell me the interpretation of it. And of course, they declared no king asked of their wise men to any such thing. You tell us the dream, O king, and we'll certainly give you the interpretation. And the king said, well, if you can't do what I've asked you, then I'm going to have you destroyed, not only you, but all your whole families, all of you. And of course, this word got back to Daniel. And Daniel asked the king's guard to go to King Nebuchadnezzar and ask him for some time. And Daniel prayed to his God. And that same dream that God gave to King Nebuchadnezzar, he gave to Daniel, and the interpretation of it. So when that happened, he went before the king and began to reveal that dream. And it's an awesome thing to realize, you know, how God works and has given to us this incredible book that we love so dearly that the world considers nothing worth more than putting a trash can. They don't want nothing to do with it, most of them. Even so-called Christians today, they really don't study the Bible. They don't understand anything about it. They're just following their leaders. That's what they're doing. So, to make a long story short, you see, that dream was interpreted, and it told King Nebuchadnezzar that one day his kingdom was going to be conquered, and there would be other kingdoms after him, all the way down to the point where, and read this in the second chapter of the book of Daniel, for anyone who would be interested enough to want to go there and read this. The book of Daniel is only 12 chapters, and it would be worth anyone to read. I'm sure many of those that are listening would have already done that. So, but you see, you find out in the book of Daniel, you recognize that well, Nebuchadnezzar was a very proud man. He had built this wonderful kingdom up, and he was out there, and God gave him another dream. And God made it known to him that if he didn't humble himself, that he would lose his mind, and he would go out, and they would the people of his kingdom would cast him out and put him out there in the field to eat grass, just like the wild beast, for 7 years. And as you read the story, that he, after God had given him that dream and the interpretation of it, he was up there on the top of his palace and looking out over his realm that he'd built, and he says, "I've done all this myself." And it says the words weren't even out of his mouth or out of his heart. And God said, "Hey, you are going out in the field. You're gonna lose your mind. You're gonna become insane, and you'll be there for 7 years. And after that 7 years, you see, he was restored and brought back into his palace." God was trying to show this Pontifex Maximus, this high priest of the sun, that he was just an imposter, a usurper, that it was the high God in heaven that was the true God, not him. And after some years, Daniel was still there, and Nebuchadnezzar had passed away, and you read again, hey, one of the descendants of Nebuchadnezzar was ruling. His name was Belshazzar. You see, that name Belshazzar, the word B-E-L, is the name of the god that they served. That was the sun god's name. Everybody, that anyone has ever done any of this study, will understand all that. And he was having a festival, serving his gods. And he made a mistake. He brought out all the sacred vessels that was taken from Jerusalem, and he brought there for all those to drink out of and to mock the true God. And then the handwriting appeared on the wall. And at that point, you see, his knees began to shake and knock. He was so he was so terrified, and it was made known to him that, hey, there's a man in here that can interpret what that handwriting on the wall is all about. And at that point, Daniel was ushered in. Now, Daniel now is an old man. He's an old man. And he told him what it represents, that his kingdom was divided. He's weighed in the balance and found wanting. And so he left the king, and that very night, the lead gates of the kingdom of Babylon was, you got to remember now, Babylon, the city itself, the river Euphrates ran right through it, right between, underneath the gate, underneath the walls, and they had gates there. And so that particular night, whether there was some treacherous work with the Chaldean priest, but somehow those gates are left unlocked.
We're down to 44 minutes there, John.
Thank you. Thank you, Rob. And so the Medes and Persians were outside the walls during that unholy festivities that they were having there, mocking the true God. And so that night, Belshazzar lost his life, and the kingdom was given over to the Medes and the Persians. And this is history that only through the Bible do you understand these things. Only through the Bible that is taught these things. And so as we read these words, we realize that there is a God. There is a true and a living God. And it's not the sun god, the Pontifex Maximus, that really controls and rules this world. He's just an usurper, and he will, you see, he will be destroyed by our Lord Jesus Christ when it's all done and over with.
Okay, hey, say, John, we're just down to the seconds. Would you like to give him your contact information?
Yes, I'll do that. And if anybody would like to... contact me, just do a fellowship, to ask some questions. My number is area code 304-392-6155. And I thank each and every one of you, and God bless you. You have a great evening.
Look to